Hello, welcome to the game. I'm John Kurtz, joined by Tyler Dreiling. Brennan Mintz is in for Mitch Fortner today, so one more day without the full crew. But we still have a good show for you today. A lot of the show is going to focus on the first annual The Game Spring Game Fantasy Drafts. We're going to do that at 5:10. I'll introduce the rules to you here in just a moment. You can also check them out on Twitter at The Game KMAN. It's not too hard, but I think this is going to be a little bit of fun. We've got Royals to talk about. They have not made their way into the show very much to this point, but that was a fun win last night for the Royals over Madison Bumgarner as Jason Vargas outdueled him. Tyler has some hot takes to uncork at 4:50 since he hasn't been on the show for a while. At 5:40, we've got some proof that Bill Snyder is mortal, and you can't be serious at 5:50. So there's your lineup today. Again, the game KMAN for questions or comments. On Twitter, you can also call the show 537-1350, 866-776-1350. Did you have a nice birthday?
I did.
Nice birthday off.
Yeah. It started out with a profitable trip to the casino, then went to Arthur Bryant's from there, which is always a good stop, and then over to the Royals for a win over Madison Bumgarner, so no complaints.
It's pretty good. Arthur Bryant's is what I've always said, like if I had a last meal, it'd be Arthur Bryant's burn-ins, like some French fries and that red cream soda stuff that they have there too on the fountain. That's the last meal if I'm going down. That's how it's going down. So I appreciated that. We do have some breaking basketball news, K-State basketball, an addition that apparently K-State has made. We'll get to that here at the end of the segment. This is going to be the last show where we have us together before the spring game. I'm going to be out with baseball tomorrow. By the way, Powercat game day will be at 11:30 on Saturday, so you'll get an hour of Cole, Corey, and I with that. But I think one of the storylines going into this is going to be people looking at the press conference on Tuesday and some of the news that came out of it and seeing that a lot of guys are injured here. It sounds like upwards of 9 starters could be out of the game, 5 or 6 on offense, and 3 on defense. I'm not sure exactly who a lot of the names are. Just reading between the lines, what some of the players have said, sounds like perhaps Dalton Risner would be one, and there's another offensive lineman, I think, just based on what Bill Snyder said. A couple receivers he threw out there. Dominique Heath maybe on that list. We know Jesse Ertz is not going to be there. Defensively, I have no idea who the guys are that are not going to be playing. But the bottom line is, if you have 9 starters out of a spring game, I mean, or just any game in general, that greatly changes the complexion of everything here. But I say don't fret. I mean, it's April now. You don't have to line up and play an actual game for 5 months until you're getting out there in September. And what have we said from the word go? When we first started talking about spring football, it was the program's in a good enough state that you know what the frontline guys do. This is the time where everybody wants to see the 2s and the 3s and the guys that have been on the scout team. So honestly, I don't want to get on this mic and be like hot take radio and say injuries are a good thing here. But this could be more of a benefit, even just for watchability of the spring game, to see some of the younger guys get a chance.
I agree. And, you know, as I look at it, I would rather watch Mike McCoy run the ball in this spring game than Justin Silman. You know, I would rather watch a couple of those younger receivers catch the ball than Byron Pringle. In all honesty, I would rather watch Skylar Thompson throw passes than Jesse Ertz. Now, that's not necessarily saying that that's what is the most positive thing for the program to do, but if you're banged up, even if it's just the slightest of a sprained ankle, why are you going to throw the guys out there anyway? So it's not really a huge positive, but I think that fans may overreact a little bit to how negative of an impact it is.
Well, let's break this down a little bit. I think saying in general, it's a positive. It's probably the wrong thing to do. If you're talking about just generally having injuries within the program, no, you'd rather have everybody healthy. So, yes, I'm with you on that front. But if you're talking about a fan going to the spring game and trying to find a reason to watch it, especially if the weather is going to be crappy, which it sounds like it may be on Saturday, you know, you're trying to find reasons to go watch the spring game, which you really do have to be there in person just about to see this thing. It's not easy. I mean, they burn every tape of it, it seems like, once the game is over. So if you're trying to see it, you got to go to the spring game, so you got to give me a reason to come to the spring game. I think watchability-wise, I would rather see that, especially because you have the 1s v 2s format. Bill Snyder did not. It's the same thing every year. We hear leading up to it, we'll make a decision like the Wednesday before the spring game on whether or not we're going to do 1v1s. But we all know what happens. It's 1v2s. You don't get 1v1s. That doesn't matter as much when a lot of the starters are gone anyway, because now it just becomes, you know, a mismatch of ones and twos together playing each other. I think that actually makes that format now suddenly more watchable. And if we're going to get to see the young guns get more action, get more time, then that makes it a more enticing watch.
Yeah, if you're talking about a more competitive game, I don't know anyone who goes to spring games hoping that it's a close game because they have a rooting interest or something like that.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say, you know, competitive game here.
Right.
I'm just saying guys that you actually want to.
But I'm saying that it will be. You know, I think it will be. I don't think that it's going to be a 73-0 game like back in 2010 when
79-0.
Oh, is that what it was?
79.
I think the purple squad from 2010 is still putting up touchdowns today. From that game. But yeah, it's not going to be like that. It'll be a more competitive game, which even if we say that doesn't matter at all, Bill Snyder actually thinks that that does a little bit, and that's why he does that score flipping thing, so that the number twos have a lead to defend in the second half, which he thinks is a positive thing, developing them mentally for being in that kind of position. So I think it'll be a good game, but seeing the younger guys compete, what makes that more enticing to me this year than most years is because this is actually the first time in a while where we've felt like K-State has that depth program wide that they lacked a little bit when Snyder first came back. When he returned back in 2009, at the front line, K-State had a pretty decent team, but they did not have a lot behind him. Now they've started to develop that talent behind him a little bit and become a more complete football team. And so it'll be fun to watch those guys for those reasons.
Yeah, I mean, think about, for instance, quarterback. I'll use this just to illustrate my point here. I think you can zone in on one position and see what I'm trying to say. At quarterback, you have four quarterbacks on the roster. One of them, Jesse Ertz, is not going to play. He assuredly would have gotten, I don't know, 2-3 series, maybe with the ones. Now with him out of there, I mean, there's three quarterbacks to play the entire game. You're going to have someone line up at quarterback, right? And so Hunter Hall is the third man there, the walk-on quarterback, and he will certainly get some reps, but he'll be with one team late in the game. Either Skylar Thompson or Alex Delton is going to have to be quarterbacking the other team at that point in time, too. Those guys are going to get a lot of reps, a lot of live reps in front of us. And, you know, I know what Jesse Ertz can do, so I would rather get a chance to see what Skylar Thompson can do and what Alex Delton can do, and I think we'll get a much bigger helping of that than if Ertz were playing. No offense, Jesse. Love you. I think you're going to be a stud. I would love to see you stiff-arm some dudes out there in the in the spring game, but what we really want to see is Thompson and Delton. Yeah, well, and that'll be...
Yeah, they
well, right. There
did
will be plenty of switching, but you know, there's two teams. There's going to have to be a quarterback on each team. So, you know. Well, that was not the implication at all. I apologize if anybody took it that way, but the point is, at a certain point, when you have a football game, there are two teams. Someone will have to quarterback one team. Someone will have to quarterback the other. So if and when Hunter Hall is getting his action, one of the two guys will be playing quarterback for the other team. They can flip. That all can happen. But you're going to get a lot of reps for the guys that are going to play. The spring game will kick off at 1:10 on Saturday. We'll have pregame coverage starting with Powercat Game Day at 11:30. Just finished the outline for that. It's going to be a little different. We don't get Stanton Weber anymore. Stanton Weber's one-year run on Powercat Game Day is over now that he's back as a GA actually on the football staff. So I will tell you this much. I am thrilled for...
But you groomed him for that position.
For a GA job?
Yeah, he wouldn't have had that opportunity without his year of experience on Powercat Game Day.
If he wouldn't have been able to take the heat of a year of Powercat Game Day,
exactly.
Stan Weber would not be able to take the heat of being a GA. He sent... I'll tell you about that off air. It's made the Powercat Game Day group text a little less fun. I will say that because, you know, it used to be, you know, we were joking around with lots of football stuff. But now I think Stanton, rightfully so, just doesn't want to make a mistake and, like, say anything to, you know, a bunch of blowhards like me and Cole. So it's made the group text less fun. Plus, you can tell he's more busy, working a lot of hours.
Yeah.
I think that's happening too. So not as much free time to be on the phone. We'll do our spring game official draft at 5:10. We'll slip this in here in the open just because it was some breaking news literally right about that. I mean, we were prepping the show in the last hour, and this comes across. K-State Men's Hoops apparently has landed a junior college transfer, and it is not a big guy. Bruce Weber has kept saying that with a couple scholarships they have left to give, they wanted to get one flexible guy that could play a lot of different positions, versatile, really the word that I'm looking for there. This seems to be that guy, not your big, that they're going to want. They wanted experience big also, but this is more the wild card. It's Ahmad Wainwright. And if you recognize the last name Wainwright, that is because he is Ish Wainwright's brother, who plays for Baylor. The only information I have for you basically on him is that he is 6'5", he averaged 14 points a game, and he is Ish Wainwright's brother, and at one point was committed to North Texas. That's the only school information you can find about him. So it fits in really with the rest of the recruiting class, which unfortunately has a grand total of zero other Power 5 offers.
Well, in addition to the 14 points, also 5 rebounds and 4 assists, which speaks a little bit to the versatility that we're talking about. I mean,
probably a guy to back up Xavier Sneed.
Right, yeah, something like that. So, I mean, that is a similar stat line to what we saw out of Wesley Iwundu last year. So there should be some options for what he can give you, but again, we're pretty much just firing from the hip because we just learned about this, and there's not a whole lot of information or video out there on him.
Yeah, I just, it's like, I don't...
So I don't have a hot take for this, I'm sorry.
I don't really know what to tell you beyond that. I mean, we'll mention it here, it's worth mentioning, but, I mean, right now, we're just going to have to see what this recruiting class is like. Just on paper, I mean, it doesn't look great. And I've been somebody who has sat here before and said, like, I think Bruce Weber's reputation as a recruiter, people don't give him enough credit. I mean, he has pulled in a talent enough, I think, to win here. I think the issues have come mainly in other areas, but this is not... This is not the recruiting class that you want to hang on the mantle or put on the refrigerator based on what we have seen so far, and unfortunately, this kind of fits in there. Now, he's got decent bloodlines. Ish Wainwright was kind of a disappointment at Baylor until this past year. He really stepped up, and the only other take and thought I have on this is that we in the media, we always made fun of Ish Wainwright, like me, Joel Jellison at the Mercury. Brett Regan was big on
it. I was wondering where that was all coming from.
We used to. That really started with Brett Regan. I'll throw him under the bus for that. Love Brett Regan. But Ish Wainwright was fairly highly recruited. I'd have to go back and look it up. I think he was like a 4-star kid. And I want to say when he was coming out, it was still Frank. And Frank was recruiting him. And he was a Kansas City area guy and was not interested enough in coming here, but we all thought pretty highly of him. Then he got to Baylor, and he just didn't really do much. He was just out there, and it seemed like every game he came to Manhattan, he was just jogging up and down the floor and not really doing anything, and we would always just make jokes about him. It just turned into a thing. It turned into a running
gag.
Meme? Is it fair to call it a meme?
I don't know.
I mean, it wasn't on the internet, really. We probably tweeted about it.
It was more of an inside joke than anything.
Yeah, just like an inside joke. You know, we'd make fun of Ish Wainwright until he actually played very well this year when they came to Manhattan. But for a while there, Ish Wainwright was our running joke. So I think it's just karma coming back on all of us that now Ahmad Wainwright apparently is committed to come here.
Well, now it's all because Scott Drew was just a coach that just rolls the ball out there. Couldn't develop him.
Do we really?
Oh, come on! You had that coming.
I know. I was about to like fire off with a normal reaction to somebody saying that to me, but like you know, it's 4:21. We got a break. We don't have 10 minutes to get into the Scott Drew discussion. 5:10, the spring game official draft. If you want to see the rules, what we're doing, pick your own team. Tweet it to me. The game KMANJL Kurtz. You can find it either spot on Twitter. You get 4 players. You get a quarterback, running back, receiver, and a flex. And I gave you the scoring system, standard scoring, basically, from fantasy football for that. So we'll check the results of that next week as well. We will talk a little bit of Royals coming up next. The Royals get some revenge last night. And, hey, we told you there was no reason to panic. You're listening to The Game.
Get in the game.
Hey, guys, pardon the advertising interruption to your radio program. Do yourself a favor and please listen carefully. If you have tried or wanted to try Viagra,